Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's toilet bowl cleaner disinfects both the toilet brush and bowl for 2-in-1 disinfection, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanshore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, I usually say welcome to the party, pal, but the party was in Scottsdale last week. Scottsdale in Phoenix, Arizona, and it was off the hook as always, but this one was extra special, and so we're here to tell you Auction Week Scottsdale, recapping the auctions and the action, and everybody's here now. The AA Ron couldn't make it down, you know, he just got moved, had a lot happening, so he had to hang back, unfortunately. So we waited to talk about the show till we got back. That way there's more to do, there's less background noise, and we get Aaron to be part of it. And it was, I was worried, Matt. I don't know about you, but I was a little worried, you know, because I drove over, because I always want to, you know, haul a few things back every time I go over there. So I drove over and the weather was kind of gnarly, man. It was not looking good when I left. The whole way over on Tuesday night, it was raining and nasty. And when I rolled into town, it was raining and nasty. And the next morning, perfect, still chilly and cloudy. And I thought, oh, man. But what happened, perfect, Matt?
It's perfect for an auction.
Yeah, but by the time Thursday came about, it was perfect. Perfect weather all around.
What you expect Scottsdale in the winter to be, man.
Yeah, it was perfect weather. Now you think about it, because RM does their preview Wednesday and then Thursday. Then their auction is Thursday. And, you know, they only have a handful of cars out there, but they're all pretty expensive. But the parking garage at the Biltmore,
yes,
was used, I think, more on Wednesday than for Thursday. And then it looked great. Walked around some of those cars and saw them do pretty well. And there's a few there that we can get into.
Yeah, I scooted by there too. Just kind of rolled through, got out, walked around, checked it out. It's, if you've never been over there, it's really picturesque because you've got the Biltmore Resort, which is just, you know, I heard a fun fact that every single room at the Biltmore Resort was recently valued at $1 million. Wow. And that they have 700 rooms plus the property plus all the other stuff. There was this interesting valuation on the property, and it was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. It's pretty spectacular if you're into architecture, and placing all those cars around it is always kind of neat. But the weekend kind of started out at one we don't usually talk about, which is Bonhams. And I bring it up because of the fact that although it was the smallest of the collector car auctions and it kind of kicked off the week over at the Westin Kirin Resort, it had the single largest sale of any of the auctions. So the car that sold for more than anything else. And Aaron, can you guess what that might have been? I will give you a hint that it was more of a modern car. It wasn't like some big, you know, 540K Mercedes or something like that. And it was a supercar.
Well, I'm not going to look at my screen. Boy, a modern car?
Yes. And it sold for more than any other single sale of all the auctions over there.
Oh, the Speedtail.
Nope.
No? Oh.
Nope. I'll give you a hint.
Oh, that's true. So Speedtails aren't that.
Its initial is the first of my first name initial. Okay.
A Fiero?
No, my first name.
A Bugatti. Oh.
A Bugatti.
A Bugatti then, huh?
It was a 2022 Bugatti Chiron SS300 Plus.
When I think of cars, I don't think of Bugattis, so sorry.
Yeah, I know. Most of us mere mortals, you know, can only get in their sphere. But they only made 30 of these. Only 8 were ever brought into the U.S. And with a mere 1,587 horsepower, it doesn't seem like much, I know. But the name 300 plus, of course, is because it's capable of 300 plus miles an hour. And that single largest sale over at Bonhams, $5.17 million.
Oh, okay.
I drove the Bugatti Chiron Pure Sport.
You did? Is that the one you drove?
Yeah, I drove
one. Did you go 300 plus?
I don't think I did.
I won't admit to it if I did.
No, we drove it around town. It wasn't like a track day or anything like that. Right. But
that must have been stressful.
So I drove it with one of Bugatti's factory drivers, basically a racing car driver that got to spend the day with me.
Nice.
And I got to spend the day with the car and we had a great time. Cool. And there was some traffic, but it was kind of interesting because Bugattis were at Barrett-Jackson as well. And it kept coming up in conversation. And I was talking to some people about the different supercars and things like the Senna and stuff. They're just so over the top as a supercar, but it's just, there's no like real sound deadening material and you hear every little pebble hitting carbon fiber and everything. But then you get into a Bugatti and it's a luxury car, but with all of that crazy horsepower and everything, it's a different animal. It really is just kind of a different thing altogether. It's not like they took a lot of horsepower and just threw it into the raciest, lightest weight chassis possible. They took a really nice sports car and made it bonkers.
In their official press information, it says the Bugatti Chiron is bonkers.
It's bonkers. But look, Craig Jackson is a fan of Bugattis, and he's got the Veyron, and he's got the new Chiron. And you can see why. You can see like why he likes those, because it's kind of the most amount of car you can get in that supercar.
That's kind of the ultimate supercar of supercars. And what's amazing is, and we'll get to this, but the second highest sale at Barrett-Jackson was also a Bugatti. So they are definitely the money cars. But it's pretty interesting. Bonhams did 12 million by selling 66 vehicles of the 83 that they had consigned. And it's a whole different atmosphere over there. Definitely RM and Bonhams are nothing like Barrett-Jackson. They're entirely different in scale, in spectacular, and in the presentation. So
hey, Brad, real quick. So they sold 60 something of the 80. Is that a normal ratio of sale to no sales?
That's probably maybe a little shy, I would say. Usually you see they sold 70 of 83 or something like that. Who knows?
Yeah, with an auction with reserve cars, you typically still want to see around 90%.
Wow, that high.
Yeah. So that's a little on the low end, but getting into RM a little bit, I wanted to hit that speed tail because we talked about it for quite a bit, and you were texting us about it, and you were talking to the guy from RM.
Yeah,
it did sell. It was 2,012,000. Now it came in. The estimate was 2 million to 2.5 million, and the estimate usually has the fee. By the way, it has the VIG. So this just basically broke into that area a little bit on the low end of the estimate, but the speed sale I still think is going to go down as one of the ultra collectible cars. I mean,
definitely.
You look at somebody was doing the math on this the other day. Somebody was like talking to Jay Leno or did a video with Jay, and he's got a McLaren F1, which is a 3-seater, and you sit in the middle, like the speed tail. And he said, "When did you buy this car?" And he's like, "Oh, I bought it like new, basically in like 96 or something, whenever he got it." And they said, "How much do you pay?" And he said, $800,000. It was very expensive, but it was new. He didn't get a deal on it. And he has a story about it. We can get into another time. And it was like, it was supposed to be sold, and then it wasn't. And then he got it. But then the guy was like, "Well, what's it worth?" He's like, "I don't know, like $20 million. And the guy's like, "Okay, so you've made $1 million a year on this car since you own it." And Jay was like, "Yeah, I guess I have made about $1 million a year on that." Yeah, I didn't really think about it. And he drives it. He did his own service on it. His guys there, Bernard and the crew, they pull the engine out. They do the full factory service on it. And they just, you know, whatever he trained his guys or whatever. It's Leno's garage. It's the happiest place on earth.
Truly.
You know, and he was just kind of like pondering for a second. It's like, "Yeah, I guess I did make about $1 million a year on this thing."
Wait a minute. That one car paid for the build out of my building here. Wow. That's awesome.
And if you think about it, like the Speedtail being the 3-seater is pretty special. And if you know, like, I don't know why Leno likes McLaren a lot, but he doesn't have a Speedtail. He's got a P1 and he's got the F1 because of the supercar. But honestly, I think the Speedtail is a better car in his collection than the P1 would be.
Yeah, maybe. But now the Speedtail, you can't drive on the street, right? It's not street legal?
That's a good question. I think you can.
I thought they weren't street legal. Yeah.
Speedtail street legal, yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah,
for some reason,
I've seen them on the street.
For some reason, I thought the Speedtail was not street legal.
Oh, no, it is. After I walked through RM and got over to Barrett Jackson, Matt, I had a conversation about this car with our friend Bruce Canepa. And, you know, I said, "I'm a little surprised that, you know, I thought it would go for more." And Bruce, having sold several of them and you know, pretty good authority on all these, he said, "Actually, it is one of the less bespoke cars." He said it came off the line, factory chose the color, it doesn't have any real options. And he said that is why it was a little less than maybe you anticipated. He said the people that have been paying the real big dollars for them, they want a special color, they want as many options as they can get. And this one was just the opposite of that. And I thought it was interesting, his perspective on it, because, you know, he's got a lot of customers that have them, have bought from him. And that was what he thought. So it was interesting.
Just a little update.
Be like, somebody spent $2 million and got a piece of junk.
I know. Bruce is like dealing in all that stuff. What's
according to notes online, the Speedtail is not legal in the U.S. to drive on the street.
Oh, well, you didn't specify in the U.S.
Interesting.
No, I didn't know that.
It's not legal to drive in the U.S. unless you're Bruce Meyer. Then you can drive around Beverly Hills.
Legal in the United States, although there's certain specifications under show or display laws that allow you to drive it. Like Oregon has a race car law, so you can drive stuff. And
so does Beverly Hills for Bruce Meyer.
He drives his 935 from the Peterson Museum
with no plates, no nothing.
It's a police escort and a racing car. A couple of cars at RM that stood out for me is one, of course, is the Lamborghini 350 GT. Adam Carolla, having owned a few of them, he owned a 350 and a couple of 400s. Our favorite color on that car was the blue Note. This is the blue Note with the tobacco interior. Very, very nice car. Nice restoration of it. And it's nice to see this car go for $632,000 all in. So that one was cool. And then the other car that I'm very happy about. Well, first of all, the Jaguar XJ220, which I'm a fan of. I like the XJ220. I think those will go up. They're not going up quite as fast as I would have thought, but they are going up. I think that one went for 475. I still think if you're getting that car for under $500,000, you're still getting arguably a really cool sort of future supercar.
Well, it's kind of a speed tail looking car too, you know?
Yeah, it is.
Beautiful.
It
yeah.
is. The interior's a little dated, but and the six cylinder is kind of what held it back, and it kind of fell a little under the estimate range. It went for 472, and the range was like 475 to 600.
Sounds like there's some bargains out there.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's Brad Joke Tuesday.
They're actually, believe it or not, RM, quite a few of their cars went under the estimates, which was very unusual.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, speaking of Adam Carolla, so I just saw that the National Automobile Museum in Reno, you know, the Herrick Collection Museum, they got Adam's cars. I think they have six or eight of Carolla. Of his cars?
Yeah, they got a handful of the cars delivered over there. I don't know if it's all fully set up and staged and available to see yet, but it's all coming together. It's going to have a nice exhibit.
That's
I think
great.
It's mostly Paul Newman cars. It's coming together.
Yeah. I believe it's all Paul Newman cars. Is there any memorabilia in there too? Because I told him, I said, he's got just everything. It would be really cool if you were able to put it on the walls and have kind of the whole story in there for however long the exhibit's going to be.
Yeah. Adam does have some stuff of several race suits and helmets, which are really kind of special for that Paul Newman collection. I got to find out from him. He called me quickly while we were on the way to Paris Jackson, and he was heading out, I think, to Vegas to do comedy and stuff. So we haven't caught up afterward, but it's,
I'm sorry, guys, but I heard this exhibition was just going to be one big joke.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Must be Wednesday.
Okay, so RM, the other car that I was really happy to see is Rod Emery had his white Porsche 356. We talked about his yellow car.
Oh, yeah.
There was a white Outlaw car there. And I was kind of like waiting for the Emery cars to really kind of take off the way Singer and some of the Icon stuff is. And let's face it, the 356 Porsches are just not a lot of car.
No,
but he did. I saw this
thing. It's luxurious. It's more, you've got to be a driver's driver to enjoy it. Yeah.
And this isn't an Emery restoration. This is an Outlaw car. This is sort of his hot-rodded version of it, like what Singer's doing. He did a great job. It looked amazing. The quality of the build is exactly what you'd expect from him. The estimate was 650 to 800, and where a lot of things were getting on the low estimates, this car sold for 747,500.
For him.
Great. Good for him.
You know, all in. And just a testament to his build quality. And by the way, anybody that's had or has an Emery car, congratulations, because your value is going up. So
now, I have an Emery cloth. Will that also rise in value?
Well deserved. Probably not as much. Probably not as much.
An Emery board. So there's a yellow Emery car in our rally. And that's the cover car that I have to do a painting of this year. So I'm really excited about that.
And that's a popular one, I think, is really great. The
Shelby
GT 350H, the Hertz cars, they're just barely starting to creep up a little bit. One sold for 170,000, and that's probably high. I don't know what the record is on those cars, but they've just barely, they had such a hard time cracking like 100 and change, like 150,000 was like on the high end of those cars. Just interesting where a GT 350 gets $230,000 and the H gets $170,000. you know, and not a GT350R, like just the GT350. Just kind of, I don't know, just kind of interesting that the Hertz cars never really are. I mean, they're cool, but they're just not catching on like the other.
It's weird. It's weird. But there were a couple cars at RM that that I noticed. One of them was that 1969 GT350 SCCA B production race car. Did you see that one, Matt? The blue one?
Yeah. I
did. And that car, although it is strictly a race car, you can't drive it on the street, it was always a race car, it was in phenomenal condition. It had all the records, all the maintenance, where this guy, it didn't sit in a collection somewhere. It has been vintage raced, and it was in really good condition. It just looked great. And I love the way that the guy had all the records that, you know, okay, we went through the motor here, we went through the suspension here, everything. And it raced from 73 to 75. And, you know, a great car. If you wanted to go out and race it like Monterey or anywhere, and it went for a very reasonable price of 168. And, you know, which, you know, for that kind of a car that you could go out, show up, and people would take notice. It was a pretty cool car. Very cool car.
The other one that kind of blew my mind, if we were talking about 80s and 90s cars starting to really kind of pop, 80s rally cars, the 84 Audi Quattro Sport.
Yes. What did we talked about it? What?
Oh my gosh. You know, 214 of these made. It doesn't have racing history. It's a street car. 214 made, 2.1 liter turbocharged engine. It's not a lot of car, but just a cool piece.
It's a great car.
$665,000.
Wow. That's above
estimate. 84 Audi.
Yeah, wow. That's above estimate. And that's, but
oh my gosh, that's just crazy for that.
It's
car.
Cool. It's cool.
It was a cool piece. I went to RM to go and see that car specifically. And it was just,
we talked about
thing.
It. Yeah. It neat looking car. Another one that just as a note, they had a 74 customized Ford Bronco, which we see go across numerous times at Barrett Jackson over the weekend. So I looked it up because I was a little interested to see if it brought the same kind of money or more money at RM, being that there's different buyers over there. It didn't disappoint. It went across with a hammer price of $190,400. So I don't know any specifics on it. I don't know, you know, what kind of motor was even in it, but those things continue to bring big dollars. It's amazing. And we saw it over at over at Barrett. And it was quite amazing. It's as we get into Barrett Jackson, we'll also talk about the other trucks that have just jumped off the moon.
Aaron, RM had a white 289 Cobra, like your dad's replica. Yes. They had the real car, though, that he kind of modeled his after.
Yeah.
$1,215,000.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So dad used to have a little white one. So we modeled it after that one. But, yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'm really kind of surprised and a bit disappointed that dad has his up for sale.
I didn't know he did.
Yeah, I think it's 200 something. It took such a long time to, he was so hot for that car and we finally got him to commit to it and he loved it. He said, it was my favorite car. I love driving it. And then one day he's like, yeah, I'm selling it. I'm like, right. Why? I thought you
likes
drove
to
it
change
all the time.
His mind.
I know, but I'm so bummed. That car is so cool.
So I know we're about to get into some Barrett Jackson stuff, but I just got to hit this one right away. So we don't forget about this later.
Go ahead and get it.
RM gets a no sale. It gets a high bid of $1.4 million on a Mercedes Gullwing, a 55 Mercedes Gullwing, right? Which is a little on the low end. They've been going for about 1.7, right?
Yep.
And I don't know how, what happened, but Barrett Jackson sells a Gullwing for $3,410,000 all in. Talk about a world record. It's double. It's double.
Wow.
It's double the most anyone's ever paid. Or pretty close, I guess, to on a goal wing. I mean, talk about winning a lottery ticket there. I mean, a cool car. But I just don't know what happened. And again, you gotta have two people
special.
On the road.
It was
and you gotta have two. Was it an alloy body, by the way?
Alloy body with the true knockoff
Vende
wheels or whatever they call them. Vende, and it was so highly optioned, low miles. Yeah, it was everything someone would want in one of those, you know. It's just a gorgeous car. I will admit, the one that Bruce Meyer had was prettier to the eyes for me than the silver. He had the all black one.
Yeah.
And that thing was just gorgeous.
And that's definitely more rare, I would say. Because if you think of how many, you know, silver ones.
Mercedes
or
silver
or even
was
a white.
Color,
yeah.
Man. You know, they had their silver arrows and everything. So,
hey, that's, Matt, a beautiful silver. Beautiful.
Results and things like that at Barrett Jackson. Let's talk about some of the things that surrounded Barrett Jackson, and you know, surrounded our seating area, because you know what, it was the hub of activity the whole weekend. So
it seemed like it. It was a good time. It was very active. Things were buzzing.
We're always very fortunate. We appreciate Craig and Carolyn taking care of us and allowing us up in the skybox. And, you know, it's always a party up there. It's, you know, bidding and food and drink and people. And part of it was it just kept happening the whole time we were there. We can go back to it and bounce off it. But, you know, we showed up. Michael and I took our wives over there like we usually do. And we got an Airbnb that was, dude, I got to tell you, we've rented Airbnbs before, but this one was smaller than what we normally do. But it was, I'll tell you how close it was. Michael and I would get up in the morning. Now, we'd get over there super early. You know, we'd get over there as early as we could. And the wives could, you know, relax, do whatever. They jump in the Uber. They were there for $6. That's how close it was. Across the street, man. And it was a great little place. And, but we got there and everybody, was excited. You know, Mike was up in the skybox and hadn't been there for a couple of years. And, that was cool. And then, there was a special thing on Friday night that we can talk about. And then, well, we might as well just talk about it right now, Matt.
There was a band named after your car, Aaron.
I know, right? Those little jerks. No.
Yeah.
Red Voodoo. I was almost
going to yell at them. They're like, there's this band called Red Voodoo. I was like, hey, that's Aaron's car. What are you doing?
I know. They should have my car up on stage with them.
Yeah, they should.
So Sammy had his LaFerrari consigned to sell that we have talked about. It was there on display right next to the Beach Bar Rum Bar, and the stage was immediately across from it. And they had Red Voodoo playing, which is a cover band.
Yeah.
And without telling anyone, in fact, I know Matt probably told some people, I told some of my select friends, but they did not announce it because, for one thing, you don't want to stop an auction with cars going across the block for everybody to run over there. So it was a surprise. But we were back in the green room with Sam and Mike and Chef Tarbell. And it was like they came in, they go, okay, it's time. And the security surrounded all of us. We walked through the crowd and those guys just parted the crowd. And as we got over there, there was the people just all, because the band's already playing and people are all surrounding the stage. And all of a sudden, all of the heads turn and see your dad. And they're like, it's Sammy Hagar. It's Sammy Hagar. And they had a little, like, I mean, it was almost on stage. It was a little VIP area, about 20 people. And it was empty. And we all went in there. And you know, everybody's starting to go, wait a minute. Why are Michael and Sammy over there? And then all of a sudden it happens and the place went nuts. Your dad walked out on stage.
Michael walked out on stage.
And
Carolyn and Craig both came over to watch your dad's set as well.
So good.
He's usually up on the auction block, especially at that time around prime time. And he came over.
That's great.
He had such a great time.
Walking, man. He was going. And at one point when Sammy played Can't Drive 55, the best part was he was standing practically a third of the way onto the stage, and Sammy looks over and he gets to the chorus and he goes, I can't drive, and hands the mic to Craig, and Craig goes, 55? You know, he was so excited. He turned to Carolyn and he went, can you believe it? And, you know, it was awesome. It was a great time.
Craig's a fan. He was so nice. And when he came to look at the car initially, I was there to kind of greet them before Dad showed up, and he was so like legitimately excited. Now, of course, we could say, well, he's got interest and all that. No, he was really excited. I think they had a great experience before, Brad, when you helped with the GT500 and all that sale. I think he had a great experience, and he was really excited to do something with Dad again. So that's so great. I love hearing this. I'm sorry I wasn't there, but
I know. And I will tell you, a lot of people ask, where's Aaron? And we just told him. And had a lot of personal stuff on your plate. And
Well, the reality was, is as you're probably going to mention, I couldn't say anything before. I actually knew during the last show, but I could not be the one to break it out, was that the LaFerrari couldn't be auctioned because at the last minute it was starting to have some battery failure. And Dad did not
the hybrid battery. We mentioned that too, and people are like, "You can't replace a battery." It's like, how easy? How hard is that? It's like, no. The hybrid battery, not the little 12-volt starter battery.
It's a big deal, and I think Ferrari's going to do them good in a shorter window than it normally is. I think the car normally has to be sent back to Italy. It's a massive ordeal, and it was pretty cool because Dad didn't want to affect or hurt the experience of the new owner by having to do that immediately, you know? So dad's going to take care of all that and get that car to its absolute prime and make sure that the next owner is super happy. And it's a good thing. So because of that, I didn't need to be there to help and do all that stuff. So
It's going up in October, and there's going to be a second Scottsdale auction, shorter, not the 9 days, like 3 days.
Right.
And that's kind of been in the works, and I don't know when it was going to be announced. I think they were going to wait until after this event, but because of what happened to your dad's car, I think they moved up the timing of that announcement so they can announce the car moving and the second auction all at once.
Boy, that works out good, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it kind of, they probably made the announcement about a week early. They probably were going to do it now, going, hey, world, you know, a record-setting auction in Scottsdale. Now we're going to do it again in October. So it worked out. The battery thing, I had a conversation with somebody. This is kind of interesting that shipping a giant battery through customs and everything from Italy to the U.S. is frowned upon by the powers that be. I don't know, customs or whatever, because they're like,
it's really
kind of crazy.
So
this is what's kind of interesting is Ferrari's been doing this, from what I heard, for a few customers. I don't think it's a secret, but they could ship a car with a battery easier than shipping the battery by itself, which doesn't surprise me. That's just politics, right? That's just politics or whatever, customers or whatever. So I don't know. Maybe they ship a car over and then ship a car back with to swap batteries, because that seems to be easier than shipping a battery.
Well, it's 16 weeks, I believe, to do this. And there's a gentleman locally here that we spoke to, because I was trying to source a battery. I was trying to help with this, my friend Rick and I here in Napa. And he had done it to two of his cars. He has three LaFerraris, and he did it to two of them. And it's a big deal. It's like a quarter of $1 million.
Yeah,
to replace that battery. I say that quietly because, you know,
with all that going on, that is the one thing you're lucky you weren't there, because I walked in on Thursday and had all these people running up to me going, "Hey man, so what's going on? I heard Sammy's not," because they hadn't announced it yet in the day. Yeah. And I know everything that's going on. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, there's going to be some news coming up, you know, and
yeah,
you know, it's like, because I said,
it's not a bad thing. It's just a delay. Yeah.
No, I just said to my buddy, I said, I'm not going to tell anybody anything, because it gets back to Craig, and then Craig's going to go, "Well, who was, Brad Fanchop in the Skybox was telling me."
Yeah. But it was on their social media before that. I think Monday, Tuesday, it was on social media ahead of time. Naturally, not everybody knew the information still, because they didn't, you know, there's so many posts by Barrett Jackson during auction week that, you know, for them to see the announcement on the Barrett Jackson Instagram page or something, you can definitely, you know, skip it. And then your dad made a post like Tuesday or something.
Right. Yeah. It's all very coordinated. And that's the nice thing about Barrett Jackson, is that they have a great marketing team. Everybody's really organized. It appears that everybody talks to each other, which is pretty unusual. And it was handled very well. I love that it wasn't a negative thing. This isn't a negative thing. It's a positive thing, because dad's going to take care of it.
Well, you're going to get the better car in October, right?
Exactly. And it's happening to all the LaFerraris, because it's an 8-year battery issue, and it's happening to all of them.
The thing is that the cars, I think, will do very well in October, because there were several people that came up to us and said, "What's it take just to buy the car right now?" And some of the prices they were talking about, I'm going, "Whoa, this thing's going to do
well."
The one thing that right after the guys walked off of stage, Sam was standing there, and he said, "Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow." And I went, "Oh, you think he'll come out tomorrow?" You know, Kari said to Carolyn, "Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow." And I was like, wow, sure enough, you know, he showed up and had a great time, you know,
Saturday. Yeah.
Came over, sat with us, and, you know, we had a great time. He had a great time. And then he took off and went over and played with Steve Vai and Joe Satriani.
Craig must have scheduled something with your dad to go up on stage and make an announcement Saturday primetime and go, "Hey, the car, just so you know, again, the car is moving to October," and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it was great to see your dad. I hadn't seen him in a while, since Monterey, probably several years ago.
When
he had the Woody Wagon and stuff there. Yeah. I came in for that. He came up and watched the auction for a while and seemed to have a good time.
You mean Bravago and Sammy's Beach Bar Cocktails were in the same room together?
They were in the same room. At least our shirts were.
I know. Listen, I'm gonna post it. I'm laughing so hard. I'm like, oh my God.
I'm gonna post it later, and I'm gonna tag your old man in it. But like, this is what happened, and see how mad he gets at me for blending the brands together.
It's so funny, because you know, you always market the brand on the show, and I never counter that with our family brand, and because I want you to have that space and not compete. And I saw you guys together, and I was like, oh man, this is, you know, because I know you've worked so hard to get it into Barrett Jackson, and I see all these things hanging from the ceiling, and it's just dad's beverage just promoted to the hilt. And I'm
it doesn't bother me in the least bit. I was so happy to see it. So I walked over with Aaron Shelby and to watch Red Voodoo and watch your dad play. And Aaron and I were there, and we're having a great time. And we were looking at the footprint. We're literally just looking at the footprint for Beach Bar Rum Cocktails, the RTD drink you guys have. And we're just looking at it going, yes, this is kind of what we want to be when we grow up. We're just not there yet. Like we're a baby, and this is the, you know, the mature adult. Now, that being said, I'm not a big rum drinker, but the cocktails that you guys have, the canned drinks, were really good. And I tried them all, and I liked them.
Oh, good.
And I actually spoke to your dad for a minute, and Kari, and I said, listen, all three of these flavors are good. And she told me which one she really liked. And I said, we have a cherry flavor, and we also have like a vanilla orange cream flavor. And I said, cherry is so hard to get right without it tasting like cough syrup.
Yep, exactly.
And he was talking about it. And I said, the reason why yours works and mine works, I said, because most of the other brands use like stevia as an artificial sweetener, and it has a weird metallic aftertaste and it screws up the cherry. I go, we use a little bit of monk fruit, and your dad sweetens his with agave. And those natural sweeteners make all the difference in the world.
They really
do. And
not
to just focus all on the drinks, but we both sat there and go, yeah, we both kind of figured out how to make cherry flavor work. And that's kind of what it was, but it was great to, to talk about the two brands there. And although that's we were only drinking his,
they were all on the team this weekend, Aaron. I mean,
I know.
Charlotte, we were, you know, your dad and Kari were sitting at the one table, and Charlotte and our other friends were sitting there with Mark Tarbell. And I'm standing there, things going, I turn around, and there's all, there had to be 10 cans of Beach Bar rum sitting on the table. And I went to,
well, that's because the waitress came over and your dad was like, bring them all.
Bring them all. But I so I grab all these empty cans and I'm going to go throw them away. And I go, what? And Charlotte goes, what are you doing? And I go, I was going to clear the table for you guys. And she goes, no. I go, they're all empty. And she says, she goes, and Tarbell looks at her and he goes, oh, you don't want him to clean the table? And she goes, it's marketing. And he goes, oh, of course.
Thank you. Well, the other thing too is what Craig's got an interest in Bravago too, right?
Yeah, he does.
So it's like dad's just hammering him, going, oh, it's got to be all my stuff. And I'm going, oh man, dad's brutal.
Yeah, and it wouldn't have made a difference. It would have made a difference to us even if we had our product there.
Yeah.
Because it does fall into a different category.
Of course it does, but still.
I mean, it's, not, you know, not to like
playful, you know, competition.
Just keep pushing, but the, if you look at like the hard seltzers that are out there, they're spirit based, which is what your dad is, right? Rum based. Right. And then ours is like a malt based, like a beer based. So it's a different product category.
Oh, I know, but still marketing is marketing. And
it is, and it's footprint and whatever. So it's fine. Now the trick
I'm always sensitive to that stuff, you know,
but now I kind of want to push and see if we can go a little head to head in October, have a little push for it there. See how that
goes. Cherry versus cherry.
I can almost promise you, your dad won't even try our drink.
He's totally on brand, and it's like he's aware that one photo of him drinking someone else's drink, and
it's funny because he sat down and somebody said, do you want a drink? And he told the waitress something else. He was going to get a cocktail, and then I go, and I had a can, and I was like, they have your drink. He's like, oh yeah, yeah, I want those. Bring me all of them.
Well, thank
he
you.
He almost ordered a cocktail. I was like, what are you doing?
Thank you to the team. Thank you to the team.
You know, that being said, you know, Goldberg showed up as well. We had a good time. His two cars went up on the block. It did well, not quite what he hoped, but overall, it's like he knew what was happening. He knew there was a little bit of a risk. It's not like he lost money on the deal. He made money. But, you know, we were supposed to have Bravago in the trunk of the car and be a part of the auction.
And Sammy slipped in a case of Beach Bar rum instead.
I think Sammy tipped somebody off and maybe said, don't do it. No, you know what happens is oftentimes the salespeople don't really communicate with the action item people, and you know, because there was supposed to be this announcement up on stage with the car auction, and there were supposed to be some more things happening, and Ralph Shills was going to sign it and in the middle of the auction and stuff, and it didn't really go down that way for some reason. And the auction went kind of fast, and I just told Bill, I was like it's not the auctioneer's fault, don't even say anything to that guy. I go, this is just lack of communication. Something just kind of happened. And it's busy. It's very fast paced. There's so many people involved. It just kind of goes that way. It's not that big of a deal. It just, you know, would have been nice to have it go down the way it was sort of supposed to be going down, the way it was, you know, sort of sold to the customer, being Bill at this point. But it was good. It was fun. He came up and his Gage was there, his kid and Wanda. It was great. And nice. They had a great time and watched the auction for a while. And
hey, Dad and Bill kinda... going to play for Colorado. I mean, that
yeah,
was...
Gage Goldberg is going to go play for Deion Sanders.
Wow.
He starts college later in the year. And
wow, that's
gonna go
cool.
Play for Colorado. That's the biggest 17-year-old kid I've ever seen, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I'm talking to him. It's a lot. To him, you know? It's
like... Yeah, he's like 6'1", and he's huge, and his arms are huge, and his shoulders are huge. But just a very, very polished young man. Just polite and respectful, and yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, the whole time. By the way, his dad's doing the same thing. He's always done the same thing. A fan will be like, Mr. Goldberg, can I have a photo? He'd be like, yes, sir, of course. That's how Bill handles it. And Gage is the same way. He's a very good, well-rounded kid, and he's going to do great. It's
awesome.
And it's great that his family's out there. Bill's brothers are out there, and they own restaurants and stuff out there. So,
oh, wow.
And his cousins and stuff. So he'll have family there in a pinch if, you know, he's like, I just need a break. I need to get away, do something.
he can go hang
with his uncle and his cousins or something. You know, like, it's going to be stressful. You got school. You got, you know, football.
Sure.
It's just, you know, it's not going to be easy, but that's the pressure of being a college athlete, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, especially with expectations.
Let's round out this show with some of the results from Barrett Jackson. We have not seen an overall total, a tally for what the auction brought in, but
they said it was record breaking, which is well over $100 million.
Saturday was crazy. Everything that I think from about 3 o'clock on, I don't remember seeing a car under $300,000.
Oh, it was nuts. And talk about reading the room. They brought out the Donald Trump blue Lamborghini Diablo, which, by the way, there's been two other owners since then. But talk about capitalizing on this is Trump's Diablo that he ordered from the factory, picked the blue, picked the colors, whatever, in back in whatever it was, like 97 or whatever it is. And just announcing the car as it was rolling up into the block, the room got loud.
Yeah.
And it hammered at $1 million. It's $1.1 million for a Diablo.
Wow.
Made their top 10.
Yeah. And then the cars that I like, the Lexus LFA is such a cool supercar.
Yeah,
so amazing,
really
so reliable, so good to drive.
And add Nuremberg edition to it.
Yeah, and it adds $1 million. The LFA went for $687,000, and the Nurburgring edition went for $1,650. It is $1 million difference for getting the limited edition version of that car, which is which is nuts. Some wild things.
All week, you would not believe the Broncos are still holding their own, but.
Oh my God, Blazers and C10 trucks.
Oh my God. I mean, they're just bringing 100, 200, you know, one with
everything six figures. Yeah.
Yeah.
The C10, the really nice C10, but $330,000.
Yeah.
For a hot rodded C10.
Lowered hot rod pickup truck.
And I don't know who the builder was.
I'm like, I wish I would have waited to sell my truck, you know, maybe, but it's been 10 years. But I mean, you know, it's just those C10s just. Crazy.
You know what? I gotta say, little disappointed with some of the charity sale cars. I think the charity cars should have pulled some more money. I mean, usually they get built or donated, and you know, there's no fees taken, so it all goes to the charity. And I'm glad the charity's got money, but the Shelby that benefited the school, the Shelby Automotive Program at the community college, $100,000 for that car, should have been.
Wow.
150, you know.
What were the charity cars?
It was a 67 Shelby GT3 350 convertible recreation, and the kids at the school made it.
Oh wow!
And Aaron Shelby went up and auctioned it off, and it went for $100,000. But it should have been 150.
Sure. Yeah. It's a write off for somebody.
And then what did the Dark Horse go for? Like 250?
Didn't even hear it.
Yeah, it's like 250 or 300.
Yeah. I mean, we saw in the past a lot of these charity cars going for $500,000, you know, so
yeah,
they were spending their money on other things, like the most ridiculous sale I saw there. And I'm sorry, this is purely my opinion, but that six-wheel gas monkey garaged my mouth thing. Was open. I was like, when it got to 100, then 200, then 300, then 400, then 500. When it was 600, I turned to my friend and I said, 600,000. He was miming, you know, saying it at the same time. And I looked down and I see somebody with their arms up like, what? And then it hammered at 750 without fees.
$825,000 on. Sorry, you said Gas Monkey Garage. Richard Rawlings was up there for the auction for some reason, but I don't think he had anything to do with this
vehicle. Really? I thought I heard
he didn't
that
build it or anything. No.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever.
A company called Danton Arts Customs, I think, built it.
Well, good kind of for whoever was associated with it, because they just were given a lottery win. I mean,
was this the green Hummer?
Yeah,
that's like slammed.
I believe that is a Gas Monkey build.
Yeah, I thought it was.
I don't think they.
It's. I mean, you know what? To each his own. But
maybe they did. I don't know.
But. And I love seeing big sales at Barrett Jackson, but I just, and hey, you know what? You got to hand it to Barrett Jackson's. You know, the guys who work in their consignment department, because they recognized it, they put it in the right time. Just because I personally didn't like it,
super unique, a lot of work into it.
Yeah,
I just looked at it and was like, I just don't know what you do with it. Like,
that's what I said, you know, where do you take it? And
because even for something like the Peterson Museum, it wasn't like in a movie or something, it wouldn't fit like their Hollywood. You know, cars display. It's not that. It's just a really interesting piece.
Now, I'll share a little bit of the behind the scenes. I have a friend who buys a lot of cars at Barrett Jackson and all the auctions. And we were standing up there, and he was a buyer for the Kindig Corvette. And he here's the incident that happened. So I come walking across the skybox. And there was a Corvette right before the Kindig Corvette. And I see my buddy bidding, and he's into like, I think 330,000 on this Corvette. And I walk up to him and he goes, just a second, I'm buying this Kindig Corvette. And I said, that's not the Kindig Corvette. The next one's the Kindig Corvette. And he looked at me and he goes, are you sure? And I go, I'm absolutely sure.
Oh, no.
And he puts his hands down real quick. He's like, damn, I'm 330 into this on the bids. And then somebody else outbid him. He went, oh, my God. He goes, thank you, Brad. I would. And he's talking and he turns around, take a crack of his drink. And by the time he turns around and sold the Kindig Corvette, he goes,
oh, no.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, that's
I'm
terrible.
I'm so sorry, man. I distracted. He goes, no, you saved my ass. But then I distracted myself. He goes, nah, I didn't need it anyway because I was going to buy it. But, you know, but it was just like, can you imagine buying the wrong car for $350,000?
Oh, you know, my God.
This Corvette's cool, and Kindig does a great job. And it's got like Lingenfelter engines in it, which is great. But I don't know what happened between last year and this year or what's going on with these things, because Kindig built one for Barrett Jackson last year, and it didn't really get the money. You know, I think they wanted this one sold for $605,000 all in. I don't think they got anywhere near that last year. Maybe it was like 400 or something.
I was gonna say 450 or something. But
yeah, and this one came.
They sold one at Mecum for like 700, and then that who's the guy? I think he's out of Florida, Jeff. That. Built that Corvette for Kevin Hart bought.
Yeah, I forgot. Mint.
Every one that he sold since then has been like 700,000-800,000. The one that he had go across there this weekend sold for like 800,000.
Oh, that was his? I didn't know it was the same builder. Yeah. I saw it. I was kind of watching it while I was having a conversation.
Yeah, it was that same builder, and I guess he sold a couple others at other auctions, and they've done real well. So I think that's, you know, how all boats rise in the tide, you know, it's one of those.
So to clarify on that Hummer, Gas Monkey's been promoting it, but he
he mentioned that it's Danton Arts Customs USA and Frenchy Export, that they were the actual builders. But for some reason, he's been promoting it on his YouTube channel and all of his social media. So I don't know what Gas Monkey had to do with it, but that's the clarity.
Richard looked awful happy when, I mean, even afterwards up in the skybox, he was high-fiving it. So
maybe he funded it.
Maybe he bought it and then consigned it.
Who knows? But yeah, but it's interesting. I mean, it's cool for, hey, look, it's never been done. But yeah, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah, well, I don't know what to do with it. Not that it's not interesting. It's interesting.
No, it's interesting. I was amazed at the dollars. It just kept going and going. And that is
part of good for them, you know?
That's part of the fun. When you see that, you just go, oh my God, you know? So
yeah, it's great for them, you know?
So like I said, just because I don't like it or somebody else doesn't like it doesn't mean it's not cool, because that's what hot rods are all about, right? They're all
exactly.
How about the
ridiculousness
540K that rolled across the block a 37 Mercedes 540K. Now, there was a 38 540K Mercedes Roadster over at RM. It went for $1.545 million. The one over here at Barrett, $2.420 million. I had a very brief conversation with Craig, because we're seeing some of the great cars and exotics starting to show back up at Barrett Jackson, because I think because of the marketing job that they're doing. And I said to Craig, I see a lot of your bidders that I haven't seen here for a long time. And I said, and some of the cars that I haven't seen here for a long time. And he said, he got a big grin and he goes, thanks for noticing, you know? And that's one of the things that some of the guys that I've seen up in Monterey or I've seen at an RM auction are now starting to show back up at Barrett Jackson, that was kind of interesting. So that's probably the buyers of these Bugattis, the going Mercedes, the 540K. Matt, did you see that screaming yellow 918 Porsche roll across?
I did. Was it yellow or was it the green, the lime green?
I thought it looked yellow to me. I thought it looked great in whatever color it was. And
I think it was a lime green. Five. Yellow doesn't do it for me. So it was
really
like, it was the bright lime. I don't like yellow.
It's that chartreuse kind of color. It's like right in between green and yellow. It's that safety.
Yeah, safety it looks like color. A highlighter in a sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, like a little bit
Ferrari
like that,
fly yellow back in the day.
Yeah. I think it is. I think it is a little more on the green side, but yeah, that thing's bright.
Matt, there's something wrong. If you didn't like a fly yellow Ferrari, there's something wrong. That was always my favorite.
I mean, I don't mind. Listen, I say this all the time. I say it on the podcast. I say it to Adam all the time. He goes, I don't mind a Ferrari in yellow. I like a 355 in yellow. I go, yeah, it looks good. Now imagine it red or blue. Or black.
No.
I guess that's a good point.
Daytona in fly yellow looks better than a Daytona in red.
My friend here has a 275 GTB in fly yellow, and
yeah,
it's gorgeous. I mean, I've seen it every other color, but I can't see it in any other color now. And
you know what? They also make it available in black and red and blue because guys like you, Matt.
Listen,
and silver, Matt. They also make it in silver.
They make it in silver. Any one of those colors would be better than yellow. Listen, I'm sure everyone over at jegs.com doesn't agree with me because they're all in on yellow.
I don't like yellow cars either.
This car right here.
Yeah.
That car right there was supposed to be red.
Yeah, it would have been fine in red.
We chose yellow. It wouldn't have looked as good in red. Yeah. And I'm showing a picture of the Smoothster that we won the Grand National Roadster Show with, and the Smoothster wouldn't have won the Grand National Roadster Show in red. Not even
I wouldn't buy a yellow car, but I can definitely appreciate one.
I wouldn't buy a yellow Prius. Of course, I wouldn't buy a Prius, but
the Woody Wagon's kind of yellow.
Oh, you didn't. You didn't have to remind me.
Oh, there we go. Pulled his shorts down right around his ankles.
No, I wanted to paint that car so bad when I received it. I'm like, no, it's yellow. And I wanted to get rid of it. And it was going to be so much more to change the color that I'm like, all right, we'll just paint it satin yellow. Maybe because I wanted to
have a yellow car.
I wanted a very muted butter yellow if I was going to do it. But, and then dad was like, can we make it black? I'm like, dad, it'll cost another 50 grand. He's like, oh, I don't want to do that.
Leave it yellow.
Leave it yellow.
I'm gonna.
It looks good in yellow, but I wouldn't like go and search out a yellow car.
I'm gonna buy a Testarossa and paint it fly yellow. Just because that car. Okay, now that car would not look good in yellow. Yeah. I just don't think it would. But anyways,
look at David Lee's collection. He's doing the yellow and red now. Everything he owns in red and yellow, and it looks fantastic. You know, it's a thing. It's a thing. Yeah. I'm trying to think now. What are the yellow cars?
Now, Aaron, because of the company that we keep and your family, you should always, when you say that, go, the David Lee, the gentleman who collects Ferrari.
Right, yeah, the Asian David Lee. I'm trying to think, too. I had a yellow motorcycle, too. My Aprilia was yellow, but that looked good in yellow because every other one was red or silver or black. And I got to say, it looked very interesting in yellow.
I don't hate the color yellow. I just don't like a lot of yellow cars. It's
it can look
not
very
like
classy.
I get angry at bananas every time I go to the store. It's like,
oh, I do.
It's like,
I,
damn
I
you, lemon.
I buy.
Why can you have been red?
Yeah.
No, it can really, some cars really don't look good in certain colors because they look like plastic because the paint is plastic these days. You know, it's,
I'm going to get I got a yellow notepad here. I'm going to have to get something new.
I think blue ones.
You've had it in the sun too long, Brad.
Dude, I gotta be honest with you. I found a box and I found all these old notepads from 1980 when I worked at ABA. Some of them still had notes. Oh yeah, I'm at the Gator Nationals or whatever, or interview notes and stuff.
Wow.
So top pages off. I'm recycling. Why throw it away?
Still paper.
But, hey, I've got to just say, and I'll let Matt put his two cents in, but it was not only a record auction at Bear Jackson, it was one of the most pleasurable. It was packed. There were so many people there. There were so many great booths. There were so many great things to do. And that's what's great about Barrett Jackson is it's more than an auction. It's an event. And it was fun. I'm looking forward to October. I did get to go in 2020 when they did the October kind of, it was like a trial run to see if they could do Scottsdale right after COVID. And it was neat. It was a great time of year, a little bit warmer. You got to be ready for some warm weather there, but in October. But
and it's going to be shorter. It's a really busy time of the year for car events. You're coming off Monterey Car Week and you're going to have the Velocity Invitational. And then maybe 2 weeks after that is the SEMA show, or if you're going to be doing
and
that.
And then F1 again.
Busy.
And then
what's the date?
And it's going to kill your dad. October, because I don't know, like it's right when he's doing his stuff.
Oh, it's not his birthday.
Yeah,
I was going to say, that's dad's birthday bash. Is it seriously on his birthday?
Yeah, he said he was going to be there. I don't know if he's doing the birthday bash.
I wonder how that's going to work out.
He's got a plane.
Yeah, but
it's the 10th through the 13th. Yeah.
Because dad does a show in Cabo every other night up to the 13th.
And isn't he doing the Vegas thing this year too?
I think he's doing man. No wonder every time I talk to him, he goes, I'm all jammed up. I got stuff going on. What's up? Like, you got 2 minutes.
Go. I'm timing you. Go.
All right, guys. Yeah. Hey, it's gonna be all right. Action all right. Week is worth it. It's become a destination for vacations. Do it. You'll have so much fun. And we had a conversation walking around. I said, I've been coming for so long and I've seen it. It's kind of like, I'm the frog in boiling water, right? But think of people who have never, ever been there and they come for the first time. It is sensory overload. And I met one this weekend. I'm walking through the skybox and I see Tommy Kendall and he goes, Brad. And I go, hey, man, how you doing? We were talking and he told me he'd never been before. It was his first time. And I go, oh, my God, are you just – he goes, it's just like – what do you look at first? You know? And it's just like, What do you look at first?
I saw TK there. I didn't know it was his first time there.
First time ever. Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? I if you would have asked me, I would have said, I've seen him there before, but not. Must have been the LA Auto Show or the SEMA show or something like that that we saw him at.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry I missed it, but I'm looking forward to seeing it in October. So.
We will post.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And it's a shorter auction, so it's easier to like kind of plan the trip around it. But but you're right. Like, your dad's schedule is going to be hectic. I'm not sure how he's going to do three events at the same time.
Yeah. He's going to clone himself.
Yeah.
So.
Wait, you mean I'll have to wear a wig?
You're going to have to shave. And you're
he's going to send you the one
video.
You
got to start growing your hair out right now, and you're going to have to change the color, bud.
You're either going to go to Barrett Jackson and move the car for him, or you're going to go sing some sets down in Cabo while you're filling in for while he's over there selling the car.
Well, speaking of, I found a new guy in Napa, and I have to go see him in less than 20 minutes, and he's 15 minutes away. So I have to wrap.
Let's wrap it up. Everybody, we will be posting some photo galleries on our Instagram, Shift and Steer, Shift Steer Media. And I know I've got some stuff up. Matt's probably got some stuff up. So go check us out. And we'll be back next week with more, because this week we're headed out to MPMC. We're going to go to the Grand National Roadster Show. Aaron's going to get his hair cut. And we'll have a lot to talk about.
And there's a flood coming this week. So it's going to be interesting.
We will be back next week. That's a promise, not a threat. And thanks for listening.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.